prayer is an interesting thing in that we are such a production-oriented society, especially the West. Why is prayer important for God's work? Why is it important that we not go out and try to make it happen, but that we pray and talk with God?
Well, I think to any discerning person, what is so obvious is God has blessed us with problems that we cannot solve.
Blessed us with problems we cannot solve.
You know, that's exactly right. And I know emotionally that in no way feels like a blessing. So God has told us that we need Him, and that how He works is not a mystery. When God wants to do something, God puts a prayer concern, a prayer burden on somebody's heart. That person prays in response to that prayer burden, and that's how the work of God is set in motion. You know, that's as scriptural as John 3:16, when our Lord was walking this earth and He saw the multitudes and felt compassion for them because it was like sheep without a shepherd. Here was God in the flesh wanting to do something. So He turned to His disciples and He sought to put the prayer burden on Him. He said, look, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few.
And
so
pray,
he said, what do you do with that? He said, pray. He wouldn't say, okay, that'll make you feel good, that'll be a nice thing to do. No, He wanted something to happen. He knew how heaven worked. That is how God has chosen to work.
That's how heaven works.
Well, desperation and helplessness are not something that we would champion as part of our culture. How does a person know when they've reached a place of breaking where God really is speaking to them to just lift that up and proclaim that?
Well, you know, God says, teach me your ways that I may know you. That was Moses' prayer. And one way of God is God wins His victories in the midst of apparent defeat. Now, that's as scriptural as the death and resurrection of Jesus. You know, when Jesus was lying in the grave, it looked like the enemies of unrighteousness had won. But of course, God was winning His greatest victory then, and afterwards came the resurrection. Now, that way of God will be duplicated in our lives. God will bring us low so that we cry out to Him. I like the words of 2 Corinthians 1, where Paul talked about a trial in his own life. He said that we had this trial so that we'd not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. You know, I think there's just a spirit of stupor upon God's people in our land. Obviously, we're at that state. We are in a desperate situation, but I say to our shame, I'm not sure we're desperate. I don't know what it will take. You know, I like a revival, which we pray for. God sends revival sovereignly. He's in control, but He sends it to those people who refuse to live without it. And, you know, I think that has sometimes been a rebuke to me, that I want something, but I sometimes, to my absolute shame, I'm willing to live without it, willing to live without what God truly wants to bless us with.
How do we know that we're unwilling to live without revival? What is going on inside the heart of that prayer?
Well, you know, I think it is a contentedness with what God doesn't desire. It's I like what God says there. That's a precious verse to me when God talks about there in Ezekiel 36. When God's people are in captivity, they're not experiencing the blessing of God in the land. And so sometimes we can be content to be losing spiritual battles God didn't mean us to lose, to be living, having unnecessary quarrels and conflicts. And God says, He says, I'll act for the sake of my holy name. And He'll bring us and put us into that place of blessing. That's what He said He would do. And He'll sprinkle clean water on us and we'll be clean. So we do need to humble ourselves and say, God, for the sake of Your holy name, now certainly would You act, would You do any restoration work that needs to happen in my life, in my relationships? That's what we need to have. That's the one cry we need to be crying out. And even God has been so good to us to give us this special day, the day of prayer. And we thank God for those events.
You mentioned the burden that God places on the hearts of His people, and that's how He leads us in prayer. Would you talk about how this translates into a corporate prayer gathering?
Well, I think as we pray with others, that can be one way that God even can expand our heart. I remember there was a time that we had every Friday morning, we had a prayer meeting here at school, and we would have pray for the nations is also pray for the revival of our own hearts. And sometimes we'd bring a student in there from the country that we were focusing upon. Well, I remember when this dear student from China prayed for China. As she prayed, she wept. You know, now I can pray for China, but, you know, not exactly like she could pray for China.
Yes.
So just praying with that person sometimes can expand our hearts. Now, in all fairness, I would say, and put this in my book, you know, in regard to praying in the Spirit, God will not burden us with every prayer burden. There came a time in my life I tried to pray for everything, and my prayer life got nowhere because I discovered that God's Spirit will not personally lead you to pray for everything that needs to be prayed for. But what has God put upon your heart? But as we pray with others, one way that God works is He can expand our heart. And the idea of praying with others is to pray for things that we all can get under the burden of. We all can agree. See, what does God really put on your heart? When you pray your heart, I love that quote, often quote by C.S. Lewis. He says, "But the prayer that precedes all prayer is this: let it be the real I who speak, let it be the real thou that I speak to." In other words, what has God put upon your heart?
That's a great word.
Prayer starts with Him. He puts prayers on our heart. And so we want to be attentive to Him. God, what have you put on my heart? And as we pray together in unison, collectively, sharing our hearts with God, that is how God's chosen to work. That's the most powerful thing that God can, that the ways that God works.
You've already spoken that the posture of a person is critical for authentic and powerful prayer. And I understand the need for desperation. Mm-hmm. But there's then another degree of almost desperation that comes to defeat. Mm-hmm. To the person that feeling beyond desperate, they've bought the lie of Satan, mm-hmm. and they're living in defeat right now.
Yes.
To that person right now, how do they get back to the healthiness of desperation and out of the ditch of defeat so that they can pray?
You know, God wants that person and we don't talk about it as if we haven't experienced it.
Well,
I certainly don't.
I toggle in and out of that.
And you know, God, one of the most powerful prayers in Scripture is Ephesians 1:15-23. I pray that you would know the hope of your calling. Mm-hmm. That devilish sense of despair. And we pray that even this morning, that God would use these today. We don't even have to wait till tomorrow, but today, that God will put a spirit of hope in our hearts. And I would say in that condition, I think it's very, very important not to try to work yourself back to God, but believe yourself back to God.
Wow.
You know, we humble ourselves before Him. And, you know, I don't deserve the blessings of God. I don't deserve anything. I've earned His judgment and I deserve that. And I could, no questions asked because of His holiness. If all I ever did was think one impure thought, God would be perfectly just in sentencing me to hell forever. But we humble ourselves before Him. And I like that dear pastor who spoke one time and he said he was struggling because it had been a horrible day and he was trying to pray and everything about it was felt defeated. But then as he was thought to himself, Lord, if I had spent some good time in your word today, if I'd led somebody to Christ today, I wouldn't have any problem praying. But mm-hmm. then he said he felt the rebuke of God. He says, you know, your problem is you want to come in your name and not in Jesus' name.
Wow.
You know, in Jesus' name, Jesus is what earned for us every blessing of heaven. He's earned the authority of God. So as we humble ourselves before Him and we cry out to Him, we cry out in the merit of Christ. Anytime a person is surrendered to God, God has a will for their life. There are patterns that even in our listeners right now as they're driving to work, they're God is putting in their heart that they're sick and tired of being sick and tired. And God wants to bring them out of that. And God wants to put a spirit of hope and to cry out to Him. And that's what this one cry is, to cry out to Him that God would deliver people what's struggling from addiction. Get in the light. Don't cover anything. He who covers his sin will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes it shall obtain compassion. So we can cry out to Him in our weakness. Cry out to Him, not because we have a perfect record in our past, but we cry out to Him in the authority of Jesus, praying in His name, and God can send hope into situations that have no human hope.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
Yeah. Thank you for that. Well, there's something that doesn't often come up, God's priorities in prayer. Too often I'm praying about my priorities and God has priorities as well. Would you explain that?
Well, you know, we all know many of us know the verse, you have not because you ask not. Mm-hmm. Now, the verse that follows that, I think, is anticipation of when he says you have not because you ask not. He anticipates the people saying, don't say we have not because we ask not. We've been asking, 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 and we're not receiving. What do you mean we have not? Well, he says, yeah, you ask, but you ask that you may spend it on your own pleasures. You ask amiss. Now, that doesn't mean that if you really desire something, you can't ask for it. But he's going to say to these individuals that what, you know, your problem is what? You're treating God as your servant, not as your master. He says the solution is this: you need to get under the authority of God. Submit therefore to God's what he'll tell them in James 4:7. So you see, the priority of God is I'm praying. I need to be willing to make any adjustment God wants me to make in my life. As I'm praying, I need to be willing to be involved in the answer to that prayer. I give just an exciting story. There was a pharmacist that someone came in. They asked for some prescription and sent to some eye medication. He gave it to them. They came back because the great damage had gone to their eye. And after they went to the doctor, they said, hey, your pharmacist gave you the wrong medication. And so he felt terrible about that. And then he gave him the right medication. It was an honest mistake. But after they put the right medication on top of the other, it still is even, things were worse. And she'd come back, the lady would come back every month, and he felt a terrible burden because it was an honest mistake, but a terrible mistake. He felt a moral liability, a legal liability. And so after about 4 months, he said, I'm going to set aside a weekend to cry out to God. I'm going to set aside a weekend to cry out to God and pray for healing to come to this lady's eye. Well, in the midst of that weekend, God says, you know, you have a secret bondage in your life, a secret sin. You need to confess that to your wife. He says, oh, I can't do that. I can't do that. But before that weekend, he knew he had to do that.
Yeah.
Well, he confessed that to his wife. She said, you know, I knew something was wrong. In fact, I and the children, we've made plans to leave you tomorrow.
Oh, my.
But the person I was going to leave is different than a person I'm talking to now. Maybe we can work it out. You see, now I'm not saying everything works out this way. In this particular case, the next day, the lady who had given the wrong medication for her came to the pharmacy, and with gleam in her eye, saying, "Healing has begun." So you see, God was concerned about the healing of that lady's eye, but he was even greater concern was what the healing of this man's life and his marriage and his family. So I think as we open before God, sometimes God wants to bless us with something greater than we even realize that we're crying to him for. So the priority is letting God do a work in us. God works through prayer.